KFWB News Talk 980. This is Money 101. Ron Kilgore sitting in for Bob McCormick. We're going to talk about elder care today. This is that time of the year when it's a great chance to get together with a family, maybe get a side there with some of your older loved ones and say, hey, you know, we need to talk a little bit about protecting yourself, because there are people out there, believe it or not, who want to take advantage of your family, and perhaps they might not realize that. With me once again is Los Angeles County Chief Deputy District Attorney Jackie Lacey. Jackie, good to have you again here. We were here just a few weeks ago talking about a similar issue.
We were. Thank you, Ron. We were here the week of Thanksgiving, and now we're here the week before the week of Christmas. And I want to thank you for having me on, because I think the more we talk about this subject, the greater chance we have of preventing other loved ones from falling prey to the scam artist out there.
How big a problem is this?
It's huge. And the truth is, we don't know how many elders are victimized financially, because many are too embarrassed to tell people about it, to even tell their own daughter and son that they fell for it. I know that was the case with my mother when she was scammed. We'd had many talks after my father passed away about not trusting people. And she received one of these phone calls one day that said basically her grandson was in jail in London and he needed money, needed to be bailed out right away, and don't tell anyone because he was too embarrassed. And she promptly took, $10,000 cash to Western Union and wired it to a so-called police station, which is what she believed she was doing. And luckily, she picked up the phone, called my nephew. I don't know why she didn't do that in the first place, who said, I'm back. I'm in Florida. And my nephew is very smart, immediately called me. I ran over to the house, and there she was on the phone with the scam artist, who I must admit, very convincing. Many times they will impersonate peace officers. They will impersonate, they will know a lot of information. And a lot of this information is gleaned from Facebook. My nephew posts every move on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that's really how they found out enough information to convince my mother to trust them.
In fact, there was a Facebook scam going around last year in particular, and maybe it's still going on, but you would get an email from a friend on Facebook and say the same thing. I'm stuck in a foreign country. I'm in jail. Help me. Bail me out. Get me out of here.
Right.
And I do know people who had actually fallen for it, and until finally the word got around Facebook that don't buy any of this stuff, because unless you can send them a private message or something like that, don't buy into that. But this is, people are so trusting, and you kind of wonder why in the 21st century, when you know everybody's getting ripped off, why are we trusting especially older people?
Well, I think with older people, you know, they're retired. Many of them, because of their maybe physical ailments, don't get around as much, and they're lonely. And when a friendly face comes to the door or someone calls, they see that as an opportunity to get involved, to still feel needed and to be useful.
They're lonely. And I know one case, in fact, I have a relative, God bless her, but, you know, she'll tell everybody all about herself.
Right.
And that's wonderful to make friends, but the problem is, if that's not a friendly person, they can use that against you at some other time and sort of come back on you and take advantage of you.
Absolutely.
And you don't realize it, perhaps.
Yeah, you don't realize it. And I think that also the elderly, if they do start to question people, can be a little intimidated, you know. And I think that...
They get defensive.
And so I know there's one particular unusual case that we do have. It's not very common, where a woman said, hey, I'm escaping an abusive husband. Can I come live with you until I get safety? And she brought in her three kids, and she lived with this man.
Wow.
And then she said she came down with some serious ailment, needed a nurse. And the nurse later on turned out to be her so-called abusive husband. And they moved into this guy's house, took it, moved him out to an outdoor area, you know, an outdoor a place behind the garage, and they had it going on big time.
I want to bring in now San Francisco attorney Ingrid Evans, who's a former deputy San Francisco attorney, now in private practice. Hi, Ingrid. Thank you for coming on to KFWB News Talk 980 to talk about what is a very sensitive issue.
Hi, Ron. Good morning. It is a sensitive issue, and it's also an enormous issue, as Jackie Lacey said. I have seen so many instances of elder financial abuse, and it seems to be getting worse and worse every year. And there's a lot that we can do to educate folks, and I hope we can accomplish some of that this morning.
Now, if I'm correct, ladies, I believe that the most common abuse comes from a family member.
Unfortunately, that's what we find in the district attorney's office, and it makes sense when you think about it, that an elderly person will want to help someone in their life who's related to them, who's younger, who may be down on their luck. And I hate to say it, that there are some people who are related who are manipulative and who know exactly what to say to pull that guilt button. You're the only one that believes in me. You've always been in my corner. You've never given up on me. And those are buzzwords for, you know, so help me out.
And then they're gone.
The statistics I know actually talk about a lot of familial abuse. But what I'm actually seeing in private practice and also when I was at the city attorney's office in San Francisco was a lot of third-party abuse by insurance salesmen, investment advisor, banks, reverse mortgages, annuities, caregivers. I'm seeing a lot of that. So in my practice, it's a little different. I'm not seeing as much abuse with family members.
Chris, you're involved with you sue for a lot of folks, do you not? Ingrid, do you handle a lot of civil lawsuits?
Correct. And a lot of times, one thing that's great about having Jackie on as well, there can be an overlap with the criminal prosecution as well. And that works very well if you have a situation where somebody has been abused and it falls in both criminal and the civil arena. You can bring both a criminal and a civil case or a regulatory enforcement action. And that can be very helpful to work in conjunction with the public and private bar.
Right. I agree with Ingrid. The most sad part is at the end of the day, if people have their life savings drained and the crook has spent everything and you can't get it back. But if they have assets, we can work with civil lawyers like Ingrid to at least recover some of their savings back and some of their life back.
How have things changed over the past, let's say even the past 10 years? Because as I was growing up in my earlier years, this is something that was never heard about because it was never discussed. I'm sure that my grandparents or somebody still got ripped off just as often as they do now, but nobody ever talked about it. It was never really reported. Mm-hmm. It was something you just didn't do, but the times have changed, have they not?
I think more people are getting ripped off. More people are adopting the title of caregiver. And using that relationship to get access into someone's home. And when you think about it, you know, someone you bring into your home every day, they can see, they get access to your mail, they get access to your jewelry, they get access sometimes to PIN numbers and things like that. So I think it is, quite frankly, getting a lot more prevalent.
I agree with Jackie. I have a case where the caregivers had absolutely no credentials or very minimal credentials, and they actually signed a deed over to themselves for a $1.5 million property, or they duped the victims into signing this deed, offering them lifetime care. So it is getting worse. There's a lot more of it. There's a lot more insurance scams as well. So people really need to be careful with investments, annuities, long-term care, and they need to talk to their family members or somebody they trust if they're going to be buying something to get a third party who is objective and not biased to give them an opinion.
Hey, we'll come back and talk more about elder care, protecting older Americans and ourselves as well, and take your phone calls and talk about ways to prevent this, what to do if you know or someone you know or love has been ripped off. More coming up on Money 101 on KFWB News Talk 980. Money 101, KFWB News Talk 980. Ron Kilgore sitting for Bob McCormick. We're talking about elder care, protecting elder Americans, older Americans, mom, dad, cousin, uncle. Hey, maybe even you. I mean, we're all getting to the age at one point, and I'm not too sure that age specific really matters, but at some point where we are vulnerable to being taken advantage of for whatever reason. If you've got a story you'd like to tell us about that or have a question for experts, one expert on the criminal side of things and the civil side of things, how to protect your loved ones from getting ripped off, and it may affect you down the line as well, because we are talking about if all their money is gone, maybe there's nothing for you down the road. If that's what motivates you to protect them, maybe that's what you'll have to do. The number to call is 888-539-2980, 888-539-2980 if you want to talk to one of our experts on this. We've got two of the very best right here to talk about elder abuse. My guests are Chief Deputy L.A. County District Attorney Jackie Lacey and San Francisco Attorney Ingrid Evans, who is a former Deputy San Francisco City Attorney. We're talking, ladies, about earlier about, people who fall victim to these scams. And I can see gray areas right now, especially when you're trying to prosecute or you're trying to file a suit against someone, them easily saying, well, this person, they misunderstood me and I didn't really mean to say what I said, and they did it without my really telling them to do so.
Well, there's a couple of ways to handle it that I've seen in our office. For instance, I can recall hearing about one of the cases in our office where the victim had had a stroke and had some cognitive impairment. And so they really didn't have the ability to consent, and we have, experts who can testify to that, so that helps. But I do think that everything you do with regard to money has to be in writing. That's really the bottom line. And you have to check and double check. And you have to be very, very aware of what you sign, read everything. I mean, my husband and I, my husband's an accountant, I'm a lawyer, we can stretch an escrow signing thing that normally takes an hour into a whole day because we ask questions, we're comfortable with that. A lot of people aren't, but I think that's the thing. There can't be informal agreements, there should be any secrets. Anytime, if you're elderly and someone is asking you to sign something, but, let's just keep it between us, or if they're rushing you, they can't leave the document. You have to sign it right then. That ought to be a red flag.
I agree with Jackie. You got to get things in writing, because what happens in a lot of these cases is the defendant will say, well, I told them this, which is exactly opposite of what your client has told you that they've said. And that does become an issue, but you can get around that by showing either that the victim had incapacity or if they had Alzheimer's, proving that through litigation, and then bringing in an expert or family members to show that this just wasn't reasonable for their situation and it wasn't suitable for their situation.
What do I need to do if I suspect that a loved one has been abused financially? I mean, what do you have to have? What does the attorney filing a civil suit have to see to give them indication there's grounds there to move forward?
We like to get the cases through investigators, through the police. And so the first thing I would do is certainly get all the records together. I would call the police immediately. I certainly would freeze out the person who is stealing from the elderly person. Our standard is tough. It is in the sense of you can file a civil case on factors that are a lot different. We have to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. And that can be very difficult, quite frankly. And it has proven challenging in the past. But we're committed to finding ways to hold these people accountable. Because what we find is people who steal from the elderly steal not just from one elderly person. They normally will rip off several. And so it's important for us to stop that person before they go on to their next victims.
Ingrid, what do you have to see?
In the civil arena, what I want to see is, first of all, I want to see a victim that can tell me what happened. And if they can't, I want to see a family member or somebody who's a power of attorney who can explain it. And then I need clear documentation, insurance policies, statements, if it's an annuity or a long-term care policy that they've been duped into, some kind of written documentation. That's what I want to see, or a victim who can testify. In the civil arena, we have a fantastic statute. It's an elder financial abuse statute, and it's a preponderance standard, which means that it's 51% to prove the case. So it's a lot less than a criminal standard, which is beyond a reasonable doubt. So we've got some tools that are very helpful for elder financial abuse cases.
Jackie, is it possible to say what the success rate is for these types of cases when you actually end up going to court and prosecuting?
We invest a lot of time and resources. We have experts on our staff, forensic accountants who are very good at going through the records and tracing the money from the victim's account into the defendant's personal account. On most of these cases, I'm very proud to say we get guilty pleas. We get guilty pleas because we're going to roll somebody in who could be everybody's grandmother in front of a jury. And we're going to roll this person in who has no credentials, who hasn't been in the business very long, who holds himself out as a caretaker or as an insurance person. And they're going down. So they normally plead. Absolutely. And they go to prison.
We'll come back and talk about prevention, keeping from having to go to court either way, and ways that you can keep track on things and start to see things start to develop that might be a pattern of abuse beginning. We'll come back and talk more about protecting older loved ones and ourselves on KFWB News Talk 980, Money 101.
With Bob McCormick, featuring the Wall Street Journal, the place to manage your money and your life. And now, here's Bob McCormick.
Money 101, KFWB News Talk 980. As the man said, Ron Kilgore, though, sitting in for Bob McCormick on this Wednesday, talking about elder care. With me is Jackie Lacey, who is the Chief Deputy DA of the L.A. County District Attorney's Office. And on the phone, San Francisco Attorney Ingrid Evans, who's a former Deputy San Francisco City Attorney. And we were talking early, ladies, about what you need to start off giving proof that somebody is being abused or someone is abusing. And I guess along with that as well, it's good to talk about ways to sort of, let's call it being nosy. Okay. As I mentioned, this is a great time of the year because you're getting together with family and friends and maybe see if you both agree with me. Not a bad time to maybe take that person aside we think is possibly vulnerable and sort of kind of find out how they're doing, how things are getting along. What do you think?
I think it's harder nowadays. I know with regard to the distance I live from my mother and my Uncle John, who's going to be 90 next year, makes it a little difficult. You know, people used to live, I think, a lot closer to each other, so you can kind of pop in and check on folks on the way home from work or something like that. But I think you have to be nosy. I think you've got to visit your loved ones frequently, be there at different times of the day, and just sort of observe, watch the pattern, see what's going on, ask questions, you know, how are things? Is there anything new? Is there anything I can help you with? And I think that's the biggest way you can prevent the loved ones who are elderly in your life or who are older in your life. My mother doesn't particularly like the word elderly, but, you know, in your life from being taken advantage of by really predators.
Ingrid?
I get a lot of calls from the children of victims, and so I would urge the children and other family members to ask the questions. Don't feel like you're being pushy. Ask. Have you been sold any investments? What kind of investments do you have? If there's somebody who's coming by the house frequently, be aware of that and find out who that person is and what they're trying to sell your parent. That is critical.
I agree. I agree with Ingrid. That's the best thing. You're not being nosy. You're caring. And you don't want to find out too late what's going on before you can help them. And I think, quite frankly, in this society, we do need to care more about each other and make sure that we, you know, are looking after each other and making sure that we don't fall victim to these things. I will tell you, the Elder Financial Protection Network is a great organization that puts out a lot of conferences, and I know they're putting on a big conference in the spring during Elder Abuse Month to sort of educate people on these things. And so there's information out there. Our office has its own internet site where we have information, and so the information is out there. There's probably information at local churches and community centers about how to prevent elder abuse, and it would be good for all of us, not just the elderly, but all of us to become familiar with the different scams out there.
I agree with Jackie. The websites have so much information on them now. EFPN has a great website, the California Department of Insurance, the DA's office, as Jackie mentioned. I have a website, Evans Law, that has tips on protecting yourself from elder abuse. There's just a lot out there. So if you don't know how to use the internet, get a friend, get a family member, and look, especially if you've been sold something, so that you can check to see if that's something that you should be concerned about.
Ingrid, let me ask you, when you go into civil court, how often do you actually end up in trial with most of these cases, or do they tend to settle out of court?
I would say about 90% settle out of court, but I have ended up in trial in these cases. I was in a trial recently in a 7-week trial against a bank for selling a reverse mortgage to a couple that had Alzheimer's, And those are very tough cases to try. So they do end up in trial, and the more evidence we have, the stronger the case.
Yeah, we're hearing more and more about the reverse mortgages that a lot of cases are being filed over those. Is that the one you're hearing most often these days?
Reverse mortgages, there's a lot of abuses with that. That is not the one I'm hearing most often, though. The one I'm hearing most often is insurance products, annuities, deferred annuities especially, a lot of variable annuity problems, and also problems with long-term care. Long-term care can be a great thing, but you need to do your due diligence and go to appropriate websites. Like there's one called HICAP. It's a nonprofit governmental organization hybrid, and they've got great information about long-term care products. So just do your research before you buy anything, and those really are the products that I'm seeing the most abuses with.
Jackie, on the criminal side, what do you see most often?
Most of it is the caretaker abuse. You know, there are a lot of financial products that people are out there selling, but most of the time it's the caretaker abuse that we're seeing, people who just befriend elderly people and get access to their accounts. There's also handyman scams going on. You know, with the elderly, you don't want to bug your relatives to fix things for you. So beware of the handyman fraud, the guy who comes in, claims he can fix and everything, gets a tool belt and looks like he knows what he's doing, but he wants the cash all up front. And that's a sure sign that he's out to take you. And so you've got to be very, very careful with those. The Elder Financial Protection Network, I believe, is going to come out with a list of approved, if you're interested in reverse mortgage from a legitimate source, come up with an approved list of companies who do offer a legitimate source of a reverse mortgage so that you're informed about what you're doing. But I agree with Ingrid. These websites are great. You should always check them.
I've mentioned before that one of the fastest growing areas I've seen of employment when I go to employment fairs and job fairs is the home care market, because it's so rapidly growing. And it's really funny, me sitting here thinking about older Americans. When I was younger, my age is now there. I'm an older American. I guess once you hit past 60, you start to, I guess technically that would be, for some folks, would be the drop off. So I'm there by a year, but I feel fine. But I realize that down the road that these are things that I need to keep in mind as I, you know, because you never think that you're dumb enough to get ripped off.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen. So these are words that we all really ought to live by, because at one time or another, we all are going to be in a position if we, you know, live long enough to where things may not be as clear to us as they have been in the past.
Yeah. You know, I talked to my husband and I, we're in our 50s, and we have two children, 30 and 27. And we're already starting to prepare, while we're in our right mind, to sort of prepare documents so that in the event we lose any sort of cognitive abilities, our children can come right in and know where things are. They aren't struggling. They aren't looking for pieces of paper. So it's good to organize and prepare. My father passed away from Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, but I think he knew it was coming on, because about 5 years before he died, he put my name on all of his accounts. He showed me where everything was. He, you know, he put me on everything. He gave me paperwork. He left, you know, things. And it's true. When in fact, he did become incapacitated, I was able to make sure that the bills were paid, that my mother didn't lose the house, and that things went smoothly. And it's good to have that conversation while you have your faculties, while you're in your right mind.
We'll come back and talk more about it. I'm going to ask Ingrid about the idea of doing that very thing, if there might be a time when perhaps we ought to go to an attorney and talk things over and draw things drawn up, which is a great idea, which is, of course, a lot of folks are going to say, I don't need to do this, son, daughter, cousin. But it may be something that, as we see more and more of this going on, and as elder Americans start to get on the Internet, I'm finding that I have loved ones who are getting ripped off on the web. At least they're trying to rip them off, and they're believing these what we call Nigerian scams. In fact, I just got an email from Rosalind Carter. I was wondering what she was up to. We'll talk more about that coming up on KFWB News Talk 980, Money 101. Money 101 on KFWB News Talk 980. We're back talking about elder care with my guest, attorney from San Francisco, Ingrid Evans, a former deputy San Francisco city attorney who is now in private practice. and Jackie Lacey, who is the Los Angeles County Deputy District Attorney. And we're talking about elder care and protection. We mentioned earlier, we were talking about the Internet, how that's really affecting a lot of folks these days, scam-wise. And I mentioned I got an email from Rosalind Carter, and only somebody who would be over 30 or 40 years old would really know that name well, because Rosalind Carter, of course, was the wife of former President Jimmy Carter, and it was talking about how they could help us make money. Just send your name, address, your phone number, your Social Security number, et cetera. Obviously, and one thing I've always watched for in these so-called Nigerian scams, because I guess in the beginning they tracked them back to a boiler room in Nigeria, and that is the spelling, because they've always got something spelled wrong or the improper syntax. They don't know the grammar very well. They don't know English. Things to watch out for. And my mother almost got ripped off by one. It wasn't quite that severe, but it was it looked like it was an official document on email. I think it was for AOL or somebody saying, we have a problem with your account. We need to hear from you now. And you need to send us all this vile information. I was pointing out to her that the moment you do, thank you, I just charged something in your name.
Yeah, that happened to me. Someone sent out a Bank of America email, and I'm a Bank of America customer. And they said, someone's trying to use your card. We need to verify it's you before you lose your money. Give us your mother's maiden name. Give us your password. And, of course, I just picked up the phone and found out from Bank of America it was a fraud. I think with regard to solicitations through the Internet, you have to have a very strong filter. I now have everything go to the junk box unless they're in my contact list. And then I check my junk box daily to see if there's some new email in there that shouldn't be in there. But the reason the strong filter helps is because the strong filter also helps for people who are blasting an email out to more than, 10, 12, 13, whatever it is, people. And so scam artists normally do that. They blast it out to a bunch, thousands of people. And so that's one way to protect yourself. But
Ingrid, do you ever come across cases that involve the Internet?
All the time. And same situation as with Jackie. What I would suggest is just pick up the phone and call, because you don't want to be sending your information over the Internet if you don't know the source of the email. And just be very, very careful in that regard.
And I think the first indication when I got started seeing these spams that have been out, of course, since the Internet's been up, is I always wanted to send them back an email saying, well, you dirty, how dare you do this to me? But the moment you do that, they're confirming your address.
That's right. You're engaging. And you don't want to engage. It's like anything else. People call you on the phone, hang up. And they want to sell you something, that's not right, or they're trying to scam you. I think with the Internet, I would not respond to those. I would hit delete. Sometimes these things carry viruses also, so you don't want to open them. You just want to delete them.
Just get rid of them. Let me ask each of you, from the criminal standpoint, also from a civil standpoint, are the laws we currently have on the books, are they strong enough to put real teeth in the efforts to try to deal with this problem, to stop people, to be a deterrent?
In my opinion, the criminal laws are. The issue that we're facing, though, is the housing of people who go to state prison in the county jail via the realignment thing that was recently passed in California. So I do worry about cases like the ones that we see in our office, where a person who is a scam artist, who didn't use a gun but is sentenced to state prison to be served in county jail, will that person be released early? And if they're released early, will that really deter them from getting back into the business of ripping people off?
Is this a white-collar crime we're talking about, basically?
Most of it is, sure. Most of it is a white-collar crime. And with white-collar crime, you do have to worry about the deterrent factor a bit more. So I think that the laws certainly that I've seen, and I don't know if Ingrid feels the same way, are very strong. The legislature is very willing to carry laws to protect our elderly, and we really don't have a lot of trouble getting them passed once we identify what the issue is.
Ingrid, how about civil laws?
I would echo that. The laws in California are fantastic for the protection of senior citizens. California is definitely at the forefront in protecting its population. And I would say we also have one of the strongest attorney generals, Kamala Harris, and insurance commissioner Dave Jones, also looking into the issue and protecting senior citizens. They're both very concerned about that issue. Civilly, we have fantastic laws. Of course, there's always more laws that could be passed. I would like to see more regulation of caregiver credentials in assisted living facilities, just to make sure that they're on par with skilled nursing facilities.
Yeah. I would also like to give banks the ability to, you know, because they see people, many of our elderly still go into a bank. I rarely go into a bank. But they still go into a bank, and they interact with the teller, and the teller knows. I would love to see something that would require tellers, if they see some unusual banking activity, to check with, say, a pre-designated family member to say, hey, look, we noticed your mother is withdrawing a whole lot of cash, more than usual. Just wanted to let you know.
That's a great idea. What do you think the chances are of that happening? I can see a lot of opposition to that right now from banks.
Right. Well, yeah, privacy issues, of course, would come into play. But we should talk about it, right? We should at least consider it.
We should. And there, I would just want to add, there is one other concern that I also have with banks. A lot of times when CDs mature, the agent will then refer the customer to one of their insurance agent that doesn't disclose that they are an insurance agent, and they just then try to roll them into an annuity. So insurance agents are actually working at the banks. They're separate companies, and that's not clearly disclosed. The commissions aren't clearly disclosed, and I would love to see some change in that regard.
We've heard that complaint as well before. We talked earlier about, you talked about how you family members, you know, of them getting together and talking about making arrangements beforehand. Would it be a good idea to see a lawyer and draw up some forms while we're still, to use the term, in our proper minds and perhaps plan for the future here, ladies?
Yes, I think so. But, you know, first you have to have the family pre-meet. And the family pre-meet is often more difficult than when you get to the lawyer, because what you want to do is, you know, you may have a certain level of comfort and trust with some of your children as opposed to others. I mean, there may be others who have a different lifestyle, who are married to a spouse that perhaps you have concerns about. So you've got to have the family pre-meet and get that all sort of hashed out, and then go in to speak with the lawyer.
And I agree with Jackie. It's so important, and you can never do it too young. Get your estate planning documents in order. Get, you know, either a living trust or a will, your durable power of attorney for financial and health care issues. Those are super, super important. And you never know when something's going to happen. My father recently was in the hospital, and he had those in place, but nobody knew where they were, and that was a problem.
Right. Yeah, it's there, but you don't know where. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. L.A. County Chief Deputy District Attorney Jacqueline Lacey. Jackie Lacey, thank you so much. And Attorney Ingrid Evans, former Deputy San Francisco City Attorney, for talking about, well, we're going to talk more about this. We got many more programs coming up, because it's becoming a huge issue that's going to affect, if not already, every one of us.